Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's study of Daniel. We're calling this second volume of the series God's Plan for the Future. The last four verses in chapter 9 of Daniel pose a fascinating challenge. It's a complex riddle, difficult for most of us to unravel. Daniel had the angel Gabriel to help him understand this mysterious description of 70 weeks. But we'll rely on the Holy Spirit and the rest of God's Word to give us perspective today. With another preview of what's to come in the end times, Chuck Swindoll describes the backbone of biblical prophecy.
Lewis Carroll, in his whimsical and strange children's tale, Through the Looking Glass, relays a delightful exchange between Alice and the White Queen regarding sums. He writes, "Can you do addition?" the Queen asked. "What's one and 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 one?" "I don't know," said Alice. "I lost count." Close quote. Math is one of those subjects that elicits either love or anxiety and hatred, but rarely a shrug of the shoulders. Whether you love or hate math, our challenge as we work our way through the extended word problem in the last eight verses of Daniel 9 is to avoid losing count. Because at the end of the problem, the practical application, frankly, will add up. To help us even begin to grasp the math in this chapter, I'll be reading from The Message, verses 20 through 27 of Daniel chapter 9. Here we go, Daniel 9, verse 20. "While I was pouring out my heart, bearing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, praying my life out before my God, interceding for the holy mountain of my God, while I was absorbed in this praying, the human-like Gabriel, the one I had seen in an earlier vision, approached me, flying in like a bird about the time of evening worship. He stood before me and said, 'Daniel, I have come to make things plain to you. You had no sooner started your prayer when the answer was given, and now I'm here to deliver the answer to you. You are much loved, so listen carefully to the answer, the plain meaning of what is revealed. 77s are set for your people and for your holy city to throttle rebellion, stop sin, wipe out crime, set things right forever, confirm what the prophet saw, and anoint the Holy of Holies. Here is what you must understand. From the time the word goes out to rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the anointed leader, there will be 77s. The rebuilding will take 62 sevens, including building streets and digging a moat. Those will be rough times. After the 62 sevens, the anointed leader will be killed, the end of him. The city and sanctuary will be laid in ruins by the army of the newly arriving leader. The end will come in a rush, like a flood. War will rage right up to the end, desolation, the order of the day. Then for 1 7, he will forge many and strong alliances, but halfway through the seven, he will banish worship and prayers. At the place of worship, a desecrating obscenity will be set up and remain until finally the desecrator himself is decisively destroyed."
Well, with that helpful context, let's move ahead to today's message. Remember, you can find Bible study resources online at insightworld.org. Here's Chuck Swindoll now on the backbone of biblical prophecy.
Last Sunday evening, I brought a challenge to you regarding the importance of praying at least 10 minutes a day for our government. I'm tempted to ask you to lift your hand and tell me if you've kept the commitment, but I don't want to get depressed, so I won't do that. No, I imagine that a number of you were doing it, and I also imagine that a number of you haven't prayed once about it since you left. Because I'm a realist, I know that that's the way we operate. But I do want to say tonight that nothing is more important than your intercession on behalf of our national scene. And we saw it from Daniel 9 last week, and we're going to see it come to pass as time progresses. So, if you will, let's say that you just didn't take it seriously and you aren't involved in it. I want you to know I am serious about it. And I wish that you would give yourself to 10 minutes a day on behalf of our nation. And as we're going to see tonight, the benefit will come to those who pray specifically. None of this lead, guide, and direct stuff, please. None of this Lord bless the president stuff. You pray by name, you pray specifically, you pray exactly for the whole scene that's before us as a people. You be a part of this very important involvement that we're facing. And who knows, we may never have it again. You have no promise that we'll have another period of freedom at all. It's kind of a gripping thought, but it's true. Now, we talked last week about a block of time, and tonight I want to do the same with you from Daniel 9. And it's not a week, it's not a 5-week period, it's a 70-week period from the last part of Daniel 9. So I'd like you to turn, and let's focus to begin with on a little bit of review, and then we will look at the major core of the message in the last 4 verses. Okay, remember last Sunday evening we found Daniel in prayer. He was involved in intercession on behalf of the people. Look, for example, at verse 3. He says, "I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, great and awesome." And he began to talk about his failures and the failures of the Jews. As he began to review the failures, Daniel came to the place where he was involved in the prayer, and he expressed his need for forgiveness. And he saw the national situation as getting worse and worse, and then he found them in captivity, and he prayed that the Lord would come to their rescue. And then he reviewed the character of God. Remember verse 7? "Righteousness belongs to you. God is righteous. Compassion is the Lord's," verse 9. "Forgiveness is His." He's a compassionate, forgiving God. "He's a faithful God in giving us His word and the voice we have ignored," verse 10. We've not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. I'll tell you, that just speaks volumes to the people of America. We've had it by the tons, and we have applied it by the ounces. We have walked neck deep in the marvelous truth of God, but in reality, we have put on so little of it. It's a cry of concern from Daniel. Now, while he is engaged in this very disconcerting time of prayer, he's interrupted. It's an unusual thing to be interrupted in prayer. It doesn't usually happen because we have placed ourselves in a spot where that won't happen, or we've chosen a time when that won't happen. But here is Daniel, and he's alone in the evening time, and he is exhausted from his time of prayer, and an angel interrupts him. Verse 20. "Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. That must have been an experience, to have been in prayer and then be visited by an angel who came in the form of a man. He had seen him earlier, chapter 8 tells us. This is the second appearance of Gabriel in Scripture. He appears only twice again, then he's gone. The other two times come in Luke chapter 1, where he speaks first to the mother-to-be of John, the baptizer, and second to Mary, who was to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bore him. Now, the angel Gabriel is the messenger from God for the nation Israel, and he has been dispatched from heaven with a block of truth. He is to bring before Daniel's mind a prophetic pattern that someone has called the backbone of biblical prophecy. You understand this passage, basically, you can put together God's scheme of events for the people of Israel. Now here's Daniel still on his knees, looking up, startled in the evening prayer, and he's looking at Gabriel. Gabriel says, God sent me to you. Look at the next verse. Verse 22. He gave me instruction and he talked with me. He said, O Daniel, I have now come forth for two reasons. Mark it carefully. First, to give you insight, and second, to give you understanding. The first word, insight, means to cause to have comprehension, to grasp the truth of something. The second word, understanding, means perception, to see into it. Daniel, the Lord has sent me to give you the scheme of events and to give you the ability to have perception, to grasp the significance of it. You see, it is one thing to hear words from God's book or from this pulpit or from some Bible study where you're involved in the understanding of the word. And it's another thing to see into it, to grasp what it is saying for your life. Now, Daniel, I want you not only to get the events laid out before you, I want you to see how significant they are for your life. Now, you see, today, friends, we have the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit has been given the church. That's one of the reasons. Because when we open this book, the Holy Spirit rolls up his sleeves, as it were, and goes to work inside of us. And he's involved in making the puzzle come into place. Haven't you had that happen? You've looked at something, you've worked your way through it, and it looks like somebody just sort of dumped the pieces of a puzzle out on the thing, and you've wrestled around with them. Then all of a sudden, as you're digging further, it just kind of, you get the border around it, and then the corners fall in, and then all of a sudden, the picture is there. That's what's happening through the angel Gabriel. In those days, the Holy Spirit was not resident in the believer. And so they trusted angelic appearances for insight, or the vocal voice of God as it spoke from the clouds, or in a vision at night. And so this angel Gabriel is communicating with this prophet of God. Look at what he tells him, 23. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. There's a little something in there that I want to point out before we go on into the vision itself. And that is God's appraisal of Daniel. He was highly esteemed. Isn't that swell? Daniel has just confessed his sins, meaning Daniel was a sinner. He's just told the Lord that he's part of the reason that the people of Israel are in such a condition. Just like you and I are part of the reason our nation has its problems. We are by nature very selfish people. We're very demanding. We're terribly critical. We cut people off. We cut them out of our lives. They have to shape up or we don't have room for them. There is a sinew, there is a muscle within us that is given to depravity. And we will never have any kind of release from it apart from the power of God. Now, Daniel was like we are, and yet the angel said, Daniel, you're highly esteemed. Wow, that's an encouragement to me. You're on your knees and you're coming before the Father. The Father pays attention because in His eyes, in His sight, you're in His Son, and His Son is highly esteemed. You don't have to plead for a hearing. You come boldly to the throne of grace as a child comes boldly to his father or mother. All right? Now, allow me to read the next four verses, first from the text we use, and then from the Berkeley version. It happened to be one that I had available in my study. It isn't necessarily the best alternate copy, but it's one that was fairly clear. So let's just hear what God is saying. Pay close attention now. Verse 9:24. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Verse 26. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. I just go right back and follow along. Verse 24 from another rendering. 70 weeks are settled on for your people and for your holy city to restrain the transgression, to end sins, to atone for the guilt, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to consecrate the Holy of Holies. Know and understand then that from the going forth of the message to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of a prince, Messiah, there are 7 weeks. And for 62 weeks, it will be in process of restoring and rebuilding with squares and streets, even in times of affliction. Verse 26. But after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be eliminated. Although there is nothing against him, the people of a prince who comes shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come overwhelmingly. And till the end, there shall be warfare, ruins that are determined. The last verse. In a week, he shall make the covenant to prevail for many. But in the middle of the week, he will cause sacrifice and offering to cease. Then on a wing of horrors shall a desolator come to bring ruin until a fully determined end comes down on the desolation. Let me say, before I go into this any further, that one of our problems in studying a detailed prophetic passage is getting lost in the details. Now, I might sound like I'm contradicting myself, because one of my major points at the end is that God is a God of details. He handles things specifically just as He declares them. But for the beginning of our study, as is true in any meaningful study of prophecy, let's not get lost in the trees. Let's look at the forest. I want to share with you something that I would write down if I had a piece of paper in hand at my table where I was doing a study. I would write down some general things about what God has said here. So let me do that in what I am calling general facts. And there are three of them. This is exactly what I would see if I were looking at it for the first time. So for the sake of you that are seeing it for the first time, pay close attention. The first fact that to me seems significant is that a specific period of time is marked out by God. That's what verse 24 is saying. Verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed. All right? God is telling Daniel that he is blocking off in his calendar, in his timepiece, a specific period of time. A block of time. We won't concern ourselves with the amount of time. Let's just notice God has decreed a block of time to be reserved. All right, now the second thing you notice in verse 24, the prophecy is directly related to the Jews and Jerusalem. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city. So whatever God is going to say is directly related to the Jew and the city of Jerusalem.
Citing two of three facts from this passage in Daniel 9, you're listening to a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, The Backbone of Biblical Prophecy. We'll recap these two points tomorrow and move ahead to the third fact. That's on Friday's edition of Insight for Living. Now, in the event you want to own the complete sermon in its entirety, you can download the audio file right now or purchase the CD by going to insightworld.org. In fact, you can purchase the entire two-volume set for Daniel. If you're listening in the United States, call us at 1-800-772-8888. Now, this series in Daniel represents the kind of teaching you've come to value, taking complicated passages of Scripture and making these biblical principles accessible to all. And as we venture into the final month of the year, we'd remind you that your financial partnership is critically important. When you give a special end-of-the-year donation in the amount of your choosing, you're invited to request a new book from Chuck Swindoll. It's called Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. I'll explain more in just a moment, but right now I'm pleased to say that Chuck is in the studio with Insight for Living board members Roger Kemp and Mary Graham.
Chuck, as you know, I have the privilege of attending Stonebriar Community Church.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love the privilege of hearing you every single Sunday live person.
You always have this frozen smile on your face. It's genuine, but yeah. I always can look back there and say, you know, Mary's here. And
I can't stop smiling.
She's loving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the service, but I love watching the people respond. And the second you say amen, The front of the church is just filled with people who want to talk with you. And it kills me because I'd like to go down there and just listen. I sort of like to tape what they're saying and put it on the radio.
You maybe wouldn't want to know everything they're saying, but you are so funny, Mary.
I'm sure there's some common themes in those conversations that you have after a sermon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there are. Actually, people come from all over the country to visit Stonebriar Community Church. And I'm always delighted to note how many are from our listening audience. And, yep, there is a common theme. Often through tears, people will say, oh man, we would love to have God's word opened and taught this clearly in our home church. Mm. And when I say that, it's not a put down to any other church. God's using churches of all shapes and sizes and types around this great big world. But it does make my heart ache when I realize that there is a spiritual famine in the land. The old prophet Amos wrote, it's not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of the Lord. He even says people will stagger from sea to sea, searching for it, but he adds in this prophetic word, they will not find it. Mm-hmm. It gives me a chill up my back when I quote those words. I don't know when I have ever felt that more true than now. I remember thinking it was true 25 years ago, but here we are 50 years in ministry and 33 years broadcasting, and I still realize how powerful and how needed is the Word of God, the expositional teaching of the Scriptures. That's the ticket.
That's really what Insight for Living is all about. We open the Word of God every single day and offer grace and truth. But
right.
We can't possibly do that by ourselves. We can't do it alone.
No, I'm glad you said that, Raj, because this is my appeal to you. Yes, to you, to help us. Insight for Living is making an impact through people like you and to people like you. As men and women all around this great big world sit at the banquet table of God's truth, famine is still in the land. But together, you and I, together we can address this problem. Your generous end-of-the-year gift today will make all the difference.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And our thanks to Insight for Living board members Roger Kemp and Mary Graham. If you're listening in the United States, you can give a donation today by calling 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Remember, when you give today, we'd like to say thank you by providing the book from Chuck Swindoll called Living the Proverbs. It's a 300-page hardbound volume designed to guide you on a journey of understanding in this pragmatic book of the Bible. Written by one of the wisest men who ever lived, Solomon, the Proverbs offer revolutionary wisdom for getting through the daily grind. If you're listening in the United States, request the book when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. More from Chuck Swindoll about the backbone of biblical prophecy, Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Backbone of Biblical Prophecy, was copyrighted in 1976, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.